Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 267 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So we are continuing our discussion about moving today. Are you ready? Are you glad you're not moving?
I'm so glad I'm not moving because just filling this outline out and thinking about all the things that go into moving made me sleepy again. So yes, I'll talk about, I'm still on the other side of a move. Like I moved, 5 months ago, and it takes like a long time to settle in. So still kind of like on the tail end of move recovery.
You're in postpartum. You're in move postpartum.
Yes, I am.
Well, last week, this is a part two of two. Last week, I made a big announcement about our family's move from Orange County to Santa Barbara. And then in general, we talked about the part of making big moves that's about like dreaming and planning and then starting to make some high level decisions. Today, we're getting into boxes and packing tape and getting our hands dirty, figuratively, I guess. So, yeah.
Well, can we talk about boxes really quick? Because, 5 months later, boxes are still the plague of my life. Like, I can't get rid of them all. I moved in January. I was probably 95% unpacked by early to mid-February. And then there were just all these boxes sitting around forever. And then I finally scheduled like a special trash pickup for them to come get the boxes. Cause I just like, and also this, like when, by the time I got around to deciding I have to do something about these boxes, it was COVID times. So nobody was moving. Like I couldn't even give them to anybody.
Yeah.
So I did do like a special trash pickup. And now the funny thing is I'm looking around, I'm like, there's boxes again. Like, I don't even know where they're coming from.
They're self-generating.
So they're self-generating. I think it's like every now and then I'll move something that I thought was going to stay in a box and just like go in a closet and then I move it around or whatever. And so then there's just this extra box and it's just like, I wish there was a fairy that would take them away.
A box fairy. Oh my gosh. Maybe someone will hear this and they are planning a big move because they were inspired by last week's episode and you'll connect with a listener who needs boxes. Wouldn't that be amazing?
They're going to drive to my house. Okay.
Maybe.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Because I'm not putting those in my car again, ever.
You are not taking them to anyone else.
No.
Well, now's a good time to kind of orient you all in the time-space continuum because we are recording this on June 19th. So it's not going to air until June 30th, which means if you're listening to this, 2020 is half over, everyone. Just maybe
crazy
a moment for that because it's been quite a year. It is half over. We don't even, any number of things could have transpired in the world in the 11 days since we recorded this. Hopefully I'm closer to closing on a house. Hopefully the world is, in a hopeful place.
I would hope in 10 days you would be.
Yeah. At least closer to knowing. So anyway, tomorrow kicks off the second half of the year, everyone. There you go. We'll just leave that there.
Amazing.
Well, let's start with looking at the last time we moved from a more practical and logistical perspective than we did last week. And I thought we could just, in recent memory, fresh in our minds, talk about something that went well and then something you would do differently next time. So why don't you go first?
Okay. So our last move was across town at the end of January 2020. Something that went well for me was the length of time I gave us to move.
Okay.
We had at least 2 weeks overlap, maybe three, between the time we were able to get into this house and the time we had to be out of the old house. And I did that with the last two moves. It works really, really well.
Yeah.
It's just nice when you're in town to be able to kind of hit it hard for a little while and then back off a little bit and maybe settle in a little bit in the new house while waiting on bringing new stuff over. It just allows you to be really strategic about the way you move certain things and how quickly. And so it took a lot of the pressure off. So I would totally think that was a great idea. However, something I would do differently would be to not hit a branch on the tree of my new house with the U-Haul and knock the mirror off because that cost me over $200. But in general, I think maybe I got so excited that I made a little too many promises to my kids. So I promised them that we'd be in by January 18th. And I don't remember why I said that. Like that was the date, like the internet got turned on or something.
Yeah.
And so that was the date I lined up. And we did it ourselves. Like we didn't hire any movers. We did have William recruited a couple of his friends and I paid them a bit to come and do the heavy stuff with him. But like, we didn't have to move on any particular day.
Right.
But because I'd already told the kids we would, we were like committed. And then it was terrible weather that whole weekend. Yeah. The U-Haul got stuck.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was like biting wind, like terrible freezing cold wind, snow whipping in everyone's faces. And those poor teenage boys, I mean, they didn't really care, I guess, but are like carrying like sofas and things through a snowy front yard. And it was awful. So maybe I just expected a little too much of myself and my kids. And we handled almost the whole move by ourselves.
Yeah.
And it did work out in the end. And I'm proud that we all pulled together and got it done. And I'm still alive. But I also had hives every night for a month, which tells me, you know, maybe I was internalizing a little more stress than I wanted to really admit then. So there is a certain element of you, this is going to be stressful no matter what, just buckle down and get it done. And then looking back and going, did I make this harder on myself than I needed to? Because I was just so eager to get it moving. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, and
what about you?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of similar things to say. And I think it's that, like, just because you can grin and bear something and white knuckle it doesn't necessarily mean you need to or you should. And I think that is that's like a very midlife lesson, right? But like, just because I could do this all by myself or I could do it in one day doesn't mean I have to. So yeah.
Right.
Okay. So our last move was in August of 2014. So almost 6 years ago, exactly, from Arizona to Orange County. And last week I, you know, talked a lot about the more emotional and other sides of that. From a practical perspective, a couple of things that worked really well. We sent Brian over a day or two ahead. We had to get both cars over. It's about a 6-hour drive. We sent Brian over ahead with like literally an air mattress and a coffee pot or something. The house was ours. The keys were in our hands, but nothing was there yet. And he had a couple of days to meet internet and cable. We are like the most high maintenance spoiled people about internet and streaming because we both work from home. We both need internet and we don't want to go without it. So he got utilities set up. He got internet working. He got like TV and Netflix working. Like, we have our priorities straight. But he went over there and just had a couple of days. I want to say he met like an electrician or some other little odd job that needed doing. The kids and I stayed back in Arizona and we drove over with my mom. And 2 or 3 days was just perfect because I had 3 little kids and I was managing a lot of details on my end. I think it would have been hard on us to be separated for a lot longer than that, but it gave him just enough time that there were snacks in the pantry when we got to the new house. The kids' beds had so then the movers arrived and then we arrived maybe a half a day later. So by the time my small children entered their new house, they had beds in their rooms. There was a little bit of food in the fridge and we kind of knew where everything was. There were still a lot of boxes, but the main core furniture had been delivered. So I would say if you have small kids and are dealing with an out-of-state move, whatever version of that might work for you, or having the kids stay with grandparents for a couple days or whatever, like whatever your version of that is, it meant that my 3 small children weren't walking into like a total danger, like literally a danger zone because I had a toddler. And also that we knew where they were going to sleep. We weren't like searching for pack and play sheets in the middle of the night. So that is something, I don't have to do that again because I don't have small kids this time, but that worked really well. It was a good dividing and conquering of Brian and my resources, I would say. Something I want to do better this time is having to do with the actual home I'm hopefully moving into. It's an older home. It's built in the 70s. So it's almost 45 years old, 40 to 45 years old. And of course, we're doing all of the home inspections that you do when you purchase a home. But having spent the last 6 years as a homeowner doing some unpleasant projects, we had to do something with plumbing. We had to do something with the roof. We did a lot in our house in the last 6 years and not necessarily the fun stuff. I really want to be strategic this time. We don't have a lot of available cash to like do a remodel before we move in. So I don't mean that, but I'm seriously considering having the interior painted with a fresh coat of paint before we move in, because it's the kind of thing that I get very impatient and I think, oh, I can live with this. Like, it's not necessary. Let's just get in and move in. But I can tell you it's a lot more disruptive to do those kinds of projects later when you have to
move everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, I don't exactly know what this looks like yet, but I want to be a little slower and more intentional about the way we make decisions about doing projects on the house. And if we find something in this inspection period that could be done now or later, and we have a way to do it now, I would possibly prioritize that and use money that would have otherwise been used for something fun. Where this house is going to be kind of sparsely furnished for a while. It's going to take us a few years to really get it how we want it. And I want to remind myself to prioritize the things that I'll be glad I did at the beginning. Anything from little fix-it jobs to a fresh coat of paint or whatever. So that's something I don't know if I could have done it differently last time, but I've just lived through some very disruptive house projects that if I could wave a magic wand and do them preemptively, I would this time. So
yeah, no. And I think that can apply to, like, it reminds me of Clara's room in the old house had these really tacky mirrored, you know, like the mirrors that say like live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
And they're like wall decals, but they were mirrored. They were so tacky, and they were in a place in her room where I was like, oh, I should just like get those down. And this is actually two houses ago, the house that we lived in, the pre-divorce house.
Yes.
And by the time we moved everything in, like, there was, her bed was right in the way. There was no way to get to them.
Okay.
And so they never came down.
Yeah.
And so the landlord, when I was moving out, was like, you need to take down your decals. And I said, sir, I would never put those, like, sorry, who do you think you're talking to? I would never have put those on the wall. So those were there when I moved in. Maybe you forgot or blocked them from your memory. But anyway, it was just a memory. It was an example of something that I just groaned every time I saw it for 5 years because life went on and we didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
Because I would have had to like move her bed because they were going to have to be, you know, chipped off the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I totally hear you. And the other thing is, it might seem like more effort and expense to do it up front, but really, when you don't do it up front, you're just kicking the effort and expense down the road. You're just delaying it.
Yes.
It's going to be the same regardless.
Yeah. And we talked last week about this kind of the concept of a forever home, or like how long you see yourselves places. And I talked about how I do think this feels a little more forever-ish than other homes I've been in. So everybody gets that impatience, right? You just want to get in and I can make a lot of allowances and think, oh, it's good enough. It's good enough. And that's fine. I mean, that's a good quality to have, because I don't need to go out and furnish it perfectly on day one. But I don't want to have that then, like you said, result in us kicking the can down the road later on. If we can use our move-in energy to, you know, just make smart choices, I guess. So
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. And then when we come back, you are going to school us all in the way of DIY crosstown moves. And I'm excited. So we'll be right back. Megan, we've been talking about our sponsor Dermatology for a few months now, and I have been using the products that whole time. I'm actually now ordering more of what they originally sent us as samples, because I am like really attached to this skincare routine. That SPF 45 sunscreen moisturizer is seriously the best.
I love the sunscreen. First of all, it's really hard to find an SPF 45 sunscreen in a moisturizer, you know, style like that. And it doesn't feel super sunscreeny, but I've been putting it to the test with all my various outdoor activities like beaching and pool time and kayaking and hiking. And it's actually offered great protection for my fair skin, but it goes on nice and light and is easy to wear under makeup. I need to order more because I also put it on my neck and chest, which I've realized are areas that I've maybe neglected a little bit and could use some more sun protection.
Yeah, I am using it there as well. Okay, so if this is your first time hearing about them, Dermatology makes medical-grade skincare products with pure, safe, clinically proven ingredients. The name is spelled with no vowels, so that's like DRMTLGY, and you might have seen their ads pop up in your social feeds. They've created a self-care starter kit just for our listeners who aren't sure where to start with what we like to call grown-up skincare, and it makes it so easy to get started. The bundle comes with a cleanser, a serum, that sunscreen we both love, and a retinol complex, and they're all designed to be used together. Dermatology has marked the package all the way down to $99 with free shipping just for our listeners, which is a fantastic deal.
Yes, this is a great deal. Those four products would normally add up to $175, and you're getting it for just $99 and free shipping on top of that. Head to themomhour.com/skincare, and it's super easy to order the bundle right from there. Again, themomhour.com/skincare will take you right to Dermatology's special offer for our listeners. Check it out. Sarah, we have talked on the show about how I just don't eat that many desserts, right? Well, it's interesting because ever since I tried Breyers Carb Smart Treats from our sponsor, Breyers Ice Cream, I've been indulging a little more regularly. There's only a couple grams of sugar, 3 net carbs, and 60 calories in the fudge bar, which is my hands down favorite. So it really does feel like I'm getting a little sweet treat without feeling too full or going through that sugar crash afterward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Although my personal favorite is the caramel swirl bar. Most of us already know Breyers ice cream. I know it's been a part of my life since I was a kid. And Breyers now has a line of sweet treats that are a great option for families who follow a low carb lifestyle or who just want to consume a little less sugar. The Carb Smart line comes in both bars and tubs, and each serving has between 3 and 5 grams net carbs, at least 3 grams of fiber, and no more than 150 calories.
Yeah, my kids love them too, which means the fudge bars are disappearing a little faster than I'd like. I've been thinking I should probably get a tub next time and then just put a sticky note that says Mom's Treats on top. What do you think?
I like that. It's a really good idea.
Well, if you or someone in your family is eating low carb right now, or if you just want some sweet treats to offer on a hot summer day that won't totally ruin dinner time, look for Breyers Carb Smart at all major retailers. You can also go to Breyers.com/themomhour to get a coupon to try it out. Again, it's Breyers Carb Smart for your next sweet tooth craving, available at all major retailers.
Okay, so you are our in-house resident expert on DIY crosstown moves, and you've done many, as you talked about. So do you have just some high-level tips for making a move like the ones you've made the last few years?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one, and these kind of, a lot of them work together, so I'll just kind of go through them quickly, but they're more, it's more like a long, rambling monologue of tips.
I'm here for it.
That all work together. So, well, the first one would be to stagger the move if you can, so you have a buffer on either side. Like I mentioned before, it'd be just having a couple of weeks to do stuff. It kind of meant that life kind of went on feeling almost like normal. The kids went to school just like normal. They still were able to make it to their practices and like things like that and activities. And I was still able to, I mean, I didn't have like a swing in social life, but I was still able to get out and go out to dinner if I wanted to or whatever, because we had time. And so there'd be like, you know, a little rush of activity, like a weekend where it would just be digging super hard and then a couple days of a break. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, you know, maybe one day I just run to the old house and grab like as many boxes as I could stuff in my car. And then another day, maybe I'd borrow someone's truck and do that. And like, so I didn't have to feel like I was in full on move mode for a week, nor did I have to feel like it didn't stretch on forever. It was just long enough. Mm-hmm. So that I think has been great. And I would highly recommend it. My next tip would be to cull your stuff on the old house side.
Yeah.
Do not move things to a new house that you aren't sure. And I mean 100% sure. And I mean, even if you have to look through every box that's been like stuffed in your closet, it would be very tempting just to move the box because mm-hmm. it's already packed. But do you really want to take something that's possibly been through 3 moves and you don't even know what's in the box anymore? Do you want that stuff anymore? I got a dumpster the last
two
or
three times.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, we have to talk about what to do with it because that's the hard part.
Throw it away.
But how? Where? In a dumpster.
You get a dumpster. You call your trash or your like waste management company mm-hmm. and they will deliver a dumpster to your house and you can put it where you can throw stuff easily out a door. We had like ours in the driveway next to the house, right next to the side door. So it was close to the basement and the boys' room, but also close enough to the front porch that you could walk out on the front porch and chuck things in. And I actually gave Owen that job. He really liked that job. So I'd line stuff up on the porch and he would stand on the porch and chuck it into the dumpster. And it's funny, when you have a dumpster, suddenly all of your friends will come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, are you going to have any extra space in
that
dumpster?
That's so funny.
I know. So you can have it emptied and refilled if you want to. My whole strategy with that is, you know, do the triaging before you leave the old house. Don't bring stuff you don't want and the negative energy and the drag of that stuff into the new house. Mm-hmm. Just make sure, take some time to think about it. This is also different for me. Like when I went from a big house, it was about 3,000 square feet to 1,200 square feet, mm-hmm. the first move. And we had lived in that house for 5 years and it had been a marriage house. So it had stuff that wasn't even mine in it. That took a long time.
Yeah.
Like, that culling took several dumpster loads, lots of energy, lots of emotional energy. Then going from small house to big felt so easy by comparison. I just got a little dumpster and just got rid of some stuff that had mm-hmm. like gotten water damage when it was in our basement and stuff like that. So like it could look different. Mm-hmm. We definitely do give things. We didn't throw everything away. There was stuff that went to Goodwill. And I have a system where I use a certain color trash bag while I'm moving for Goodwill and a certain color trash bag for stuff. And I make sure not to ever mess that up. So I would load up the back of my car and then take it and drop it off. And so that worked pretty well. As this, you know, this time moves on, if you're doing the buffered, the staggered, you know, length of time, like I did, there will come a time you just want to light a match and set the old house on fire.
Yeah.
You're just done with it. All you want to do is focus on the new house. And so toward the end of the last move, I built in a couple days breaks. So I wouldn't go to the old house at all. I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to think about it.
Yeah.
But you can't go too long because then you lose momentum and you will literally never want to go back. You'll be like, all that stuff can just die with the house. I don't care. I don't need any of it. So it is a balance, like, to give yourself that break when you need it, but then kind of get that energy back up and push through resistance and start again. On that note, like, expect to make so many more trips between the houses than you ever thought possible. Like, so many more. Because your kids, because of this normalcy, because of this feeling like it's not really that big of a deal, we're still in town, we're just, you know, in my case, like a mile away, your kids will just want to go about life as normal. And they're not in your head seeing the complicated systems that you've created to keep everything moving forward. They're just like, tell me what to do, mom. Tell me what to do, mom. And so if you don't specifically say, make sure you have your phone charger.
Right.
They might think they
it's
might
the
just
mental
assume,
load. The mental load is still all on you.
Yes, exactly. So there were so many times we'd pull up into the driveway of the new house. I just want to go in and put my feet up. And then they're like, oh, I left my hoodie. And so, you know, I tried not to overreact. But a crosstown move can feel kind of endless. So the benefits can become downsides. Like, you rely on the ability to run across town, except, you know, driving a mile across town 25 times in a day eats up a lot of time. Yeah. So I would start to do this thing where I'd stand at the door and say, does everyone, this is the last time we're going to be at this house, does everyone have everything they need? And stand there and let them, make them go look, like, make them go into their old bedrooms and look around and say, because they're not used to it yet. Yeah. Like, they're still used to this being the house that they're in, and they're not thinking about the fact that once they go, that's gone.
Yeah.
Another thing is we, and I know you mentioned this in the intro, but we do beds and bedding in first. We like to sleep in the new house on the first night of Ernest moving. I personally think it is a huge bummer to sleep in an old house when, like, half the stuff is moved and you can see how dirty the floors are, where the sofa used to be. And, like, so for me, it's like, get those beds, get them in the house, get them set up, get the sheets and blankets on them. That is number one step. And then something in the kitchen first. It doesn't have, you could eat off paper plates. It doesn't have to be like all your dishes, but just something so that when you open the fridge, there's food in it.
Yeah.
And then it feels like, and if you've got that and something to sit on, it's like, okay, this is livable. We all have our personal items. We have beds, we have chairs, and we have food.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe like shampoo and stuff like that. But like, those are kind of with the personal items. I just feel like then you can take your time with the rest of it and it doesn't feel so depressing.
Yeah.
And then my last tip would be hire people to clean the old house. You are not going to want to do that. I would rather, if I had to decide where I was going to invest money versus my own sweat and time, I would rather pack and carry and unpack and walk up downstairs with furniture all day.
Agreed.
Than scrub the fridge of the house I just left.
I totally agree.
Done. Don't want to do that. And it feels so much, once everything's out, it feels so gross in an old house. Even if you're a clean person, It feels gross.
And it feels, it's just, it's so unrewarding. There's no internal reward.
There's no reason.
So I know this is your section, but I had two memories pop up while you were talking, and both were before I had kids in my Chicago days. One time I moved from Evanston, my senior year of college apartment, to my first city apartment in Chicago, and we had a subletter over the summer. So we actually had an entire summer where we were in the city, Allison and I and our city roommates, and then we still were technically tenants of our Evanston apartment, but we had a subletter. And I kid you not, we moved over like 2.5 months, and it was torture because there was always a couple more things. It was always 100 degrees, up 4 flights of stairs, blah, 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 because, I mean, we're young at this point. And I was working in Evanston part of the time, so it was always, I was up there anyway, and I just remember that was the move that never ended. And I didn't even have kids yet, but because we could drag it out, we did. And then my other memory was of moving out of that first city apartment and Allison and I being the last ones to clean. And just it being so depressing. I remember going at like 10 o'clock at night with a bag of cleaning supplies, like, here we are. So yes, those were in the days before I would have been able to hire someone to do it. But yeah,
right.
Amen to both of those things. Yeah. Crazy.
It's funny. In my last house that we moved out of, I got a text from, well, because COVID then happened and she couldn't, the landlady couldn't get it rented for like another month or two.
Yeah.
Then she finally did get someone. So this would have been well into April. And we're friends, so we text anyway, but she texted me. She's like, hi, I just went in the shed and there's a patio table of yours in there. Can you come get it? And I seriously had a moment where I was like, I want that table. I knew what she was talking about. I had just forgotten that it was in there and it'll be perfect. Like, it's going to be perfect on my deck here. But I was like, do I have to? I wanted to be like, could you just see if the new tenants just want it? Because I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to deal with it. And then there was a whole ordeal because we still had one of the shed keys, but nobody could find it. And then, like, it was just, like, so much mental energy for a place I had left behind 3 months earlier. And it was felt
well,
terrible.
That is. It's both the benefit and the struggle of a in-town move is, you know, it's a lot less of a clean break. Whereas a lot of the moves I've done is like, there's no going back. Like, so
keep it, throw it away. It's up to you.
Yeah, but it's gone. Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Well, that was super helpful. And even though I'm doing a longer term move, I was, you know, mentally making many notes, including about a dumpster, which I need to get on right away. That was super helpful. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about hiring movers and doing these bigger long distance moves that I've done. So we'll be right back. Megan, we are talking all about moving today. And it's funny because books are one of those things that it's really sad to pack up because in my house, we use them literally every day. I'm excited about our sponsor, Vooks. That's like books with a V, because even in the weird transition time between houses this summer, Violet can access a streaming library of animated storybooks on any of our devices when our physical books are, you know, nowhere to be found.
I love that. She can even watch some of the books on a tablet while you unpack the new house, right?
Yeah.
So the way Vooks works is that your kids hear a story narrated at a relaxed, read-aloud pace. They see the words highlighted, and then there's some really lovely animation added to the pictures. So just enough to make the story come to life, but not so much that it's distracting or becomes more like a TV watching experience instead of a storybook one.
Vooks is new and they're adding more titles all the time. It's so fun to see familiar books that we know and favorite authors, books like Giraffes Can't Dance and Where the Wild Things Are. And then there are also some books my kids have never read. Each book takes around 5 or 10 minutes to watch. And you can also create your own collection, almost like a playlist, which I did for Violet just the other day. And I had her watch a few books while she was next to me while I worked.
Vooks works on any of your devices, and there are no ads and no in-app purchases. And right now, Vooks is offering one free month subscription to all parents worldwide, no purchase necessary. To get your free 30-day trial subscription, go to Vooks.com. Again, that's Vooks, Vooks.com, to get 30 days of free animated read-aloud stories. We are welcoming back our longtime partner, Shoot Along, today. Sarah, our listeners love this program.
Yes, they do. Shoot Along is an online photography course for moms who want to use their DSLR camera to take beautiful photos of their kids. I got my first DSLR back in 2012, and it was so intimidating learning to take photos in manual mode, but once I did, it was incredibly rewarding. We all love our smartphone photos, but there's really nothing like having that control over your settings to be able to take great photos in any light or situation.
Right now, Shoot Along is offering two different online courses that you do completely on your own time, at your own pace, no deadlines. Camera Express gives you 10 nuts and bolts lessons to get you comfortable with your DSLR camera and to start moving away from that auto setting, which I know is so tempting for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And then Editing Express consists of 52 how-to videos showing how to edit and improve your images using Photoshop Elements.
Okay, so if I were you all, I would get both of those courses together. You can get them both for a total of $39.99. Because for me, in my photography learning, taking great pictures and knowing how to edit are so intertwined. They really work together. So I love that you can get those two courses as a bundle. And that's a really good deal. And what a fun way to challenge yourself this summer.
Yeah, so head to shootalong.com/themomhour to get Camera Express and Editing Express bundled together for just $39.99. Again, that's shootalong.com/themomhour and scroll down to choose Full Express to get that great deal. Check it out. Okay, so we're back. And Sarah, you are about to embark on this move that's going to look very different from a crosstown move. So talk about how you've managed moves that are longer in distance, especially if you have movers, because that, you know, that takes away work, but it adds complication because you have to educate them and do that emotional work. So give us your tips.
Yeah, well, I'll start with hiring hiring a moving company, which we have done a couple times before, but we've hired them at different service levels. So if you've never done this and you're not familiar, you can have the whole spectrum of, you know, just hiring people to show up with a truck and carry your boxes and large furniture out, but you still do a lot of the packing and organizing yourself, all the way up to you can do nothing, not lift a finger. And a lot of times if you're a part of a company relocation, they will do this for you and they walk into your house and they do it all. And I have had that and it is rather strange. It's hard to prepare for because you like the culling that you're talking about, Megan, the getting rid of stuff, you're doing it, but then you're still just leaving your books on your shelves and leaving your clothes right in your drawers. And it feels like you're not doing anything. So it's hard to know what to do. On the other hand, I had three small children and was trying to sell a house at that time. So it really was the best use of our time and money. And we were able, I think we had a moving allowance from the company, I think. So it made sense for us when we moved from Arizona to here. We did have that. This move, I think we will go back to the way where we pack all the boxes ourselves and we'll let a moving company, load the truck and drive it, of course, unload the truck and do things like they have all the materials to like wrap your hanging frames in bubble wrap and things like that. I will let them do that this time because it's just a good use of my like time money equation. But I'm going to pack we're going to pack the boxes ourselves this time. And I like that. It's a little bit more control. So I guess just educate yourself on what's available to you. Definitely get personal recommendations on moving companies. I think they've gotten better because things like online reviews are so much more exposing than they used to be. Our movers from Chicago to Arizona they were so bad.
I had movers in Chicago and they were awful.
Yeah. They didn't show up for 3 weeks. We didn't have furniture for 3 weeks. And we knew it was going to be like a week, but it was like three. And I do think that hopefully that's less common. It used to be really common for them to just take your money and run. I mean, there's so many horror stories out there. But definitely ask for personal recommendations. People who've moved in your town, but also real estate agents can be helpful if you have someone like that. Nextdoor, apps like Nextdoor or Facebook groups, like just get some good recommendations and then find out exactly what you're paying for. Because I think if you've never done it, there is quite a large spectrum of what they do and don't do and what's covered and how you're paying them. Is it by hour? Is it by the truck? Is your stuff going to be shared with other people's stuff? Because on cross-country moves, they'll do that. They'll load up trucks and then they'll just point the trucks in the right direction. And then they're dropping someone else's stuff in Albuquerque and you're moving to Phoenix. Like, so just get educated about how they operate and what you're paying for, I guess.
I have a question about this because I have used the kind of movers that pick up your boxes and move them and your furniture, but I have not used the kind of movers that actually pack your stuff. And there's something about that that feels so uncomfortably removed from the process for me. Like how does that work? Like, how do you know on the other end that it ends up where it's supposed to be? Or
so
do you have like personal objects that you know,
so
don't let them get to?
You could.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you would probably pack your valuables or do something. We ended up, this is one of my later tips, but we ended up packing for our small children, like as if we were going on a week long vacation. So we actually packed a suitcase with, you know, their lovies and their clothes and their toys, just as if we were going to grandma's for the week or something. That helped to make sure that the movers didn't like pack a lovey or the sound machine or like, you know, the thing that a baby would need, the diapers and the wipes. My memory is that they use a barcode system in terms of where things go. And I'll get into my color-coded packing tape tip. That's another tip. So just stay tuned for that. But they will go around and make sure that the boxes that are in the living room in the old house make it to the living room in the new house. One thing that's cool about it is they actually have packing materials that you don't even get at Home Depot, things that protect surfaces and protect like chair legs and protect things from scratching. They have that is the part that's really convenient. They know how to wrap and bundle stuff in a way that keeps it really safe. So if you have, you know, vases or valuables or glass things on a shelf, that it's really nice not to have to worry about those yourself. That's where they come in very handy. And I'm trying to remember, I feel like there was something about houseplants. There was something, they educate you on it, I guess is my point. And they do have, they do use technology and there were little barcodes on each box that said, you know.
So they've got a system.
They do have a system. Yeah. And then I had a system as well. So I guess this is a more like big picture tip, but one thing that is hard for me is having like 3 or 4 weeks stretching ahead and knowing that I should get started and knowing that there's a deadline when the movers are coming. And unlike your crosstown move, there's usually like 1 or 2 days where this is going to happen. Right. But when you're 3 or 4 weeks out from those 1 or 2 days, it's sometimes hard to know what to do. I feel like I should get started, but my family's also going to need stuff for the next 3 weeks. So that is hard. And a couple tips to get around that. One, we've already done this with this move, is get your first 20 boxes, even if it feels too early to pack most things, and put a big box in every room. And as you can, once a day or over a couple of days, just fill it. Again, you don't want to fill it with stuff that you're going to get rid of. It needs to be stuff that's going to make it to the new house. But maybe there's a category of item that you know you won't need for like 2 months. And so that's like, right, mentally, that's where I'm starting right now, is like, I can pack, you know, these books, this bookshelf away, because I don't care if I don't see these books for another 3 months, but I do want to keep them. So having the boxes on hand and having one in each room to just toss stuff into, I think has been helpful. If you have little kids around and it's hard to just have an open box, because that would have been really hard for me a few years ago, you could set like an hour a day, like baby's nap time or first thing in the morning, and just give yourself like, this is my time to tackle one thing, one room, one project, one box. And then kind of you have to just mentally release yourself the rest of the day. Because just like you said, Megan, life has to go on as normal, even as a move approaches. So that has been, yeah, something that's been challenging for me mentally, because I have this running stream of thoughts, like I need to be doing something. But sometimes there is not like a thing to do, because you actually need to continue living in your house.
Yeah.
So yeah, having a dedicated time of day or a dedicated area where you can still pack a box a day, but you don't have to put the pressure on yourself to do it all now. So that's another thing.
And I would also add to that, that when we were in that phase of having little kids and moving in the kind of move you're talking about, where it all had happened in a weekend or whatever, like more than once I moved and at the last minute was just throwing stuff in boxes because I waited a little too long to get to some of the non-essentials.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I'd realize like, oh my gosh, 3/4 of these boxes are like toys and clothes. I don't even know if I want these toys and clothes.
So
it's a good opportunity to look at the off-season clothing.
Yeah.
Make sure it all needs to go. Maybe some of it is done, outgrown. You don't even really want it anymore. Toys. I mean, it's tempting to take them all, but if your kids are like on the cusp of outgrowing a category of toy, mm-hmm, it's maybe not worth taking them. And so that, I feel like toys and clothes were always, and books, mm-hmm, are like a good place to start, because they're not 100, like they're not absolutely necessary to life every day, as long as you keep enough stuff out that they can get to.
And they'll be excited if they go a month without seeing their Magnetiles or their dollhouse. They'll be excited on the other side to have it back, right? It's like reintroducing a toy they haven't seen for a while. So, yeah. Okay, so I have a color-coded packing tape system that worked really well last time.
And we have photos of it somewhere, don't we?
We do. And I think we talked about it years ago.
Yeah.
But I bought duct tape. I think it's actually the Duck brand, the DUCK brand.
Yeah.
Very brightly colored and patterned, like 12 different rolls, and just basically made a huge poster with one color or pattern for each room in both houses, like where it's, well, no, in the new house, like where it's going is actually what you want to focus on, not where it's coming from. So kitchen, you know, family room, each kid's rooms. And we used that. We still use regular, clear, cheap packing tape to actually seal up the boxes. But I would stick a big stripe of that on the box for where it was going. And then I made like the color-coded poster. And I really thought the movers were going to hate me and think that I was like trying to do their job. But they actually said like, no, this is great. They had their barcode system. The reason it was great is it was such a visual cue for everybody. And so instead of looking like, where did I write on this box? Like, where does this go? What does this say? Like, this handwriting is bad. The Sharpie was running out. It was such a visual cue. And what you could do in the new house would be to hang a little strip of that tape, like on the door of the room, because sometimes in a new house, you are even forgetting like, wait, which room, like, where did we decide this kid is going to sleep? Or where did we decide to put that one, like, toy storage area. So it's a visual cue that really helps on both ends, the packing end and the unpacking end. It helped the movers. The kids even thought it was fun because it was like, oh, a box with the yellow means it's coming to my room. Like the kids got into it. So I fully plan to do that again. Violet had fun picking out the patterned tape on Amazon, and it's ready for us to start with that. And then I guess while we're talking about labeling, another thing I'm going to do this time, I don't think I did it last time, is when you unpack your kitchen and when you decide where things go in your kitchen, put some painter's tape or a sticky note on every drawer and cabinet for your own sanity, because it doesn't matter like how well you design where the cups are going to go and where the plates are going to go. You will forget when you're unloading the dishwasher, your own system.
I forget.
And there's so much mental energy that goes into like, wait, where does this go? And then not alone, let alone training your children and your spouse or whatever. So have some easy removed sticky notes that go right on the cabinets, and you can leave them there for a month until everybody has internalized where things go and where things are. And you could do that for other areas of the house too, but kitchen is the one where it feels like, wait, where is the cutting boards again? So yeah, labels.
Yeah. Well, so I have to share that because I went from a kitchen that was teeny tiny that had like maybe five cabinets total to a big kitchen with lots. Like I have lost things in my kitchen now where I've gone around, I've had to go around the entire perimeter. I start like at the, you know, southwest corner or whatever, and work my way around and open every cabinet and every drawer and every cabinet and every drawer. And sometimes I still miss it the first time around and have to go back around. So I should have done that the first time. And it would help the kids too.
Yes.
Like the other day I couldn't find any lids to my Contigo. Like I have those like insulated mugs, and I'm like, where did all the lids? I use these all the time. Like, where could it possibly be? And so finally I said, Clara, I think you unloaded the dishwasher last. Do you know where the lids are to the mugs? And she said, oh, yes, clearly they're where the lids go. And she opens this cabinet door. This is not where the lids go. But in her mind, it was like, duh, obviously. This is the special place where all mug lids go. And I'm like, but the mugs are on the other side of the room. Like, this makes no sense. But it, like, she had already created a new system for herself because our system wasn't clear enough. So I could do some work around that.
Yeah. I think it's funny how much, at least I do this. I get very smug and proud of myself at designing a system, an efficiency system that makes sense, whether it's laundry or kitchen. And then I will forget my own system, like especially in a move where you have so many details floating around in your mind. So
it takes a while for it to become a habit, and it has to get sunk in.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's a lot about color coding and labels. Another tip is just if you are co-parenting, co-moving with a spouse, or if your parents are helping you, if you are managing this process with other adults or even teenagers, a shared Google Doc can go so far. As soon as we have like a bunch of details floating around, we start a shared document, and right now it's really messy. It included like a bunch of thoughts and questions about the house we're buying here. But it'll get cleaner. It'll become an actual to-do list. Brian and I, one thing when you have a co-parent or a spouse, we're often trading off on our productivity time, right? I'll take the kids somewhere and he'll knock out a bunch of projects, or he'll take the kids and I'll do something. We don't always have the luxury of an hour to, you know, talk about these things together. So having a Google Doc or a spreadsheet or whatever you use has been really helpful. I think it's also good for things that, like, we know there's going to be things we'll want to do to the new house, but that are more like a year or two away. It's helpful to have a place to write those things down now while we're in the dreaming mode so that we don't forget them, you know? So a shared document can go a long way, I guess. I don't have much else other than that, but just start one. It doesn't have to be like pretty or perfect, but if it's a place in the cloud that multiple people can access, it just makes things easier. So a good one.
Yeah.
And then I talked a little bit about when you have little kids and making sure that they have their things. But I wanted to say something else about small children and moving, which is that their understanding might be different than you think. I have had kids worry that their toys will be left behind. Kids don't have a good understanding of what stays in an old house and what moves to a new house. And even kids as old as 6, 7, or 8 years old, they'll ask good questions like, can I bring my curtains? Well, that's actually a good question, right? Because in some in some situations, maybe yes, and in others, maybe no. Depends on the type of window treatment. And so I would say that with small kids, I talked about packing a suitcase and making sure they have their beloved objects, you know, the whole time. And we just looked at it like, let's pretend we're going on vacation for a week. What would we bring? So then we didn't lose anything that they needed in a box. But also, as you're packing up, making sure to check in with your, I would say, like 3 to 7 year olds, especially about what they might be worried about or what they might have questions about. They're not old enough to worry about things like, will I make friends at my new school? Maybe a 7-year-old might, right. But the little ones aren't, they're not future thinking about that, but they might get upset at seeing a familiar painting taken down from their nursery and wonder if they're ever going to see that again. And so you can help reassure them that, you know, what's the difference between the physical structure we're leaving behind and all the things that belong to us? And so that I found was led to surprising conversations with kids at different ages. And you might find yourself clarifying really funny misconceptions that they have. And so I guess as soon as you tell your kids that you are moving, be prepared to have those conversations and don't assume that they understand it, I guess, is the tip there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it speaks well to just taking time to check in with the kids, because some will appear to just be taking it on the chin and just going along, and it's very easy for you to get so wrapped up, and it's very normal and like no guilt. I mean, yeah. There's a lot going on. Yeah. But it's so easy for mom to go into like manager project mode and then to just kind of forget that like everyone's processing this differently. Everyone has different feelings about it. Maybe some people aren't really that happy about it. Like, there's just a lot going on. And I find that it's actually helpful to me to make a point of setting aside time and energy to like just check in with everybody, even if it's just a check, like a quick, just quick check in.
Yeah. That also reminds me of, I think we've talked about this when it comes to like the holidays and anything else where kids have a really, like, their sense of time is not very good, like the passage of time. So it's always helped my kids have some kind of a countdown, especially if they're excited and looking forward to it. But a calendar, or you know how you can make like a paper ring countdown, like Advent, like think of like how you count down with Advent to Christmas. But like, this is when we're going to leave. This is when we're going to travel. You know, these out of state moves might involve a long road trip. They might involve airplane. Right. They might involve a stay over at grandma and grandpa's house. Like, it's pretty disruptive. And I don't just mean like emotionally disruptive, but it's like an actual lot of moving about for a week or so. So it may help. It may help kids in that middle age range who have a sense of time, but not a great one, to really have a visual and be able, it gives them a little sense of control. I think that like, okay, we're staying at the old house until this day on my calendar. And then we're going to go on an airplane, and then we're going to stay at grandma's, and then we're going to move in our new house. I mean, my kids are asking so many questions about those things right now, and we don't have the exact answers yet. But when we do, that helps them know. It helps them know and plan. So that would be another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I got. I'm sure I'll have more in a few weeks.
Well, that was a lot. I mean, turns out we both have some knowledge around this stuff, and hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah.
That's helpful to people who are thinking about this or wondering if it's even worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe really. People are like, never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind. But you always get on the other side of it. And I've never moved and not felt like it was worth it. Like, that's the thing. Like, usually you're in a place where it's happening for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's all this work. It's like having a baby. Like, you know, what's going to happen. It's going to be painful. There's going to be a recovery period, but you're going to get on the other side of it and life will get back to something normalish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for listening, everyone. This has been really fun. I cannot believe we are closing out June 2020. What has happened to this year? COVID happened to this year. We will be back on Tuesday with another brand new episode. And we wish everyone a safe and happy 4th of July. In the meantime, talk to you soon.